from the Star Rentals Sports Desk, your sports radio KJR 950 AM and 93.3 FM sports headlines.
Wow, is that new? That's new.
We changed
that right there, man. Got some new stuff here on the radio station. Anyway, headlines are brought to you by our friends at VenueKings.com.
Idiot!
You looking for Kraken tickets tomorrow night against Tampa Bay? Maybe you want to buy tickets to go watch Gonzaga get beat by Memphis or Boise State in Portland, like Dick Fane secretly wants to do but won't admit it. VenueKings.com can take care of you, get you in the door for under $50. Well, the M's making a deal today. They have sent Justin Dunn, Brandon Williamson, and outfielder Jake Fraley to the Reds for left field all-star Jesse Winker and Eugenio Suarez. I get that right, by the way, Jackson? Third baseman, shortstop. He'll be 31 in July. He had 49 bombs 2 years ago. Winker has 2 years left on his deal, and Suarez has three more left on his contract.
Aussie Cam Smith has won the Players' Championship by one shot over Abraham Lahiri. He takes home, get this, a PGA record $3.6 million first prize.
Wow, that's unbelievable. Seahawks, bunch of news today. Quandre Diggs back on a three-year, $40 million deal with $28 million guaranteed. Sidney Jones is back. Jamarco Jones is gone. Will Disley's back on a new three-year, $24 million contract, as is Al Woods, all returning to the Seahawks.
Deshaun Watson has reportedly rejected a potential trade to Seattle and is meeting with the Saints and Panthers today. And the Browns releasing Jarvis Landry, who's had almost 700 receptions in his eight years in the league.
Oh,
you don't say.
I want him here in Seattle?
Yes.
J.C. Jackson, cornerback, going to the Chargers. Teddy Bridgewater, quarterback, going to Miami. And running back James Conner, a new contract, 3 years, $21 million, $13.5 million guaranteed from Arizona. Well, it's been a while since this man was on the radio show. And I got to be honest with you there, Jackson. You got the wrong bed. Well, you got the wrong bed for Pauly Sewald. I need the magic man.
I was waiting for you to bring
Where's
I didn't
the
know
magic
you were
man?
Oh, he was going to cue you.
You mean this right here?
There it is. He needed the cue.
No, he's just... We got to get this change, man, in the bullpen when he comes out of the bullpen for his entry song. Absolutely. We got to make that happen. Well, joining us on the radio program, it's been a while since the magic man was here from the M's bullpen in Peoria, getting ready for the season opener in 3 weeks from now. Our friend Pauly Sewald. Paul, how are you, pal?
Everything is great. I am excited to be in Peoria and ready to get the season going. You said it best, nonsense indeed, but now it's over and we're ready to play.
Well, let's get a quick thought on that from you. Are you satisfied with the agreement that was struck between the players and owners that lifted the lockout?
Obviously, you always want to get everything you want in a negotiation and give up nothing, but I feel like both sides got something or got multiple things that they can be very excited about, and both sides had to give up something for the other side. So I think, you know, in general, I really think it was a good deal, and I'm excited that baseball is going to be better for the next 5 years than it was the last 5 years, because I think what we put together was a pretty good deal.
And in this offseason, we saw big moves by Jerry DePoto before the lockout and now a big move after. So let's go in chronological order. Robbie Ray, the Cy Young Award winner, is now part of your rotation. Tell me what you think of that move.
That sounds pretty nice to me, doesn't it? Sounds pretty nice to me. Sure helps to have a horse like Robbie go every fifth day. That's going to be unbelievable. You know, I think, you know, everyone's going to be very excited with his tight pants and his grunts, but I'm going to be most excited with his strikeouts.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see him pitch every fifth day. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of people out there, Paul, put your kind of sports talk radio hat on for a second, who wonder, hey, Robbie Ray, before those couple years in Toronto, was not exactly a household name. How are we so certain he'll be able to recreate that magic when he comes here?
Well, I feel like if anybody has a point of view like that, I think I represent that the most. I was a nobody. I was a non-roster invite and turned out to have a pretty decent season in Seattle last year. I think, you know, baseball is so difficult. It's so difficult to be very consistent over 162. Anyone can have a good week, a good month, even a good year, but to be consistent is very difficult. Sometimes it takes longer for other people than it does for some. And, you know, apparently the changes he made in Toronto clicked, and look at what you got. And, you know, I think speaking from experience, I think once you figure out who you are, I think it's a lot easier to pitch and go from there.
So before the lockout, you bolster the pitching staff with Robbie Ray. Now you bolster the offense. Tell us about these guys. You come from the National League. You've pitched against Jesse Winker and Eugenio Suarez.
Those guys have got some pop. You don't want to have to face them in Cincinnati. We didn't want to have to face them in Cincinnati, and I'm glad they're on our team today. I think our lineup all of a sudden got pretty decently deep in a matter of minutes, and Jerry pulled off a great trade, and you know we didn't really have to give up too much to get get two All-Stars, and you know that's pretty impressive. You know, I spoke with him before I left the field today, and he kind of let me know a little bit, and I couldn't believe that he didn't have to give up quite as much as I was thinking he would have to give up, and you know, Mariners fans should be very, very excited about the two players we're getting and maintaining most of our future as well.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about Winker specifically for fans that don't know a lot about him. What does he bring to this baseball team specifically that maybe you did not already have?
I mean, we have some great players. We have some very great players on our team. I think arguably he could be our best hitter this year. I think that's saying something because we have a lot of great hitters.
Wow.
But that's the kind of player he's coming in as. Seventh best weighted runs created plus last year in what most will say is their number one stat to judge exactly how a player is. You're talking Shohei Ohtani, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Fernando Tatis, Bryce Harper, and then him. You know, that's a pretty solid list to be on. Cincinnati is a very small market. Maybe doesn't get as much recognition as if he played in New York or LA or something, which, you know, will blend right in Seattle. We can just be quietly winning 95 games this year.
How about you bringing the analytics to the table?
I like that.
I love that. Weighted runs created. I love it. Paul Sewald, Mariner closer, joining us here on 950 KJR. So what does it do to team morale when you're down there in spring training and your GM with his actions basically says, we're going for this?
It was amazing. We had our first team meeting today where Scott kind of really talked to the team and Jerry kind of just chimed in a little bit, kind of, you know, didn't want to overstep his boundaries, obviously, but just kind of wanted to chime in. And he said it very bluntly, we added an extra playoff team this year to each division or to each league, and there's no reason we shouldn't be gunning for one of those playoff spots.
Yeah.
And now he says it with his mouth, and then he walks the walk and goes and gets two really good hitters. I think everyone's going to be very excited. It was kind of a little bit after practice where some people had already left. I think there's going to be a ton of buzz tomorrow, and I, you know, hopefully, Jesse and Gino are going to be there tomorrow, and I will welcome them with open arms.
Okay, so his name is pronounced Eugenio, but we have the permission, it sounds like, to call him Gino. Is that fair?
That's what people in Cincinnati called him. Okay. I don't know. I haven't met him. I will ask him tomorrow. I gave him that nickname today. We'll see if he's okay with that.
I love it. Okay, well, until he says no, we'll just call him Gino for now. So Gino Suarez, okay, 2 years ago, had 49 bombs, 103 ribbies, had an OPS of 930, led the league in strikeouts with 189, but, you know, whatever. That's the price you pay for a power hitter. And then we didn't see much out of him in the last couple years. My guy in Cincinnati tells me he became a pull hitter, he had shoulder surgery, and he was not the same. So, again, put your sports talk radio hat on and tell me why this guy should be feared like he was a couple years ago.
Well, I'll give 2020 a pass to everybody. Nobody was as good as the 2020 season, or nobody was as bad as their 2020 season. Okay. Christian Yelich had like 140. He's a pretty darn good hitter. So I say we give him a pass in 2020. You know, he had shoulder surgery. Kind of, you know, I have been lucky where I haven't had to recover from surgery or really been injured, but you know, there's just something to that. And you start thinking about that instead of thinking about your swing, and he kind of got off to a slow start. And then if you look at his second half stats, he's the normal Suarez that, you know, sits in the middle of the lineup and he dictates who you pitch to and who you don't to. And I think we're thinking he's going to be the second half guy from last year and the guy he was, you know, that deserved that big contract that he got.
You sound like you love baseball, not just playing baseball, but you sound like you follow the sport of baseball. And maybe tell me, is that unique? Because we've talked to a lot of guys that just don't pay a lot of attention to their own sport they play in.
Everyone's different. I totally understand. If you work a 9-to-5 job, sometimes you don't want to go home and talk about your 9-to-5 job. I can understand that. And a lot of that is the same with, you know, some of my teammates that, you know, I live and die baseball. I don't need to watch it when I go home as well. I can't help myself. I like sports. That's, you know, that's my favorite thing, and you know, if I'm not playing baseball, I'm probably watching it during the summer,
yep.
or golf or anything during the off season. And so, yes, I would say that I'm in the minority of that, but, you know, my wife puts up with it, so it's okay.
Well, we know you're a big football fan, a big baseball fan. You referenced Jerry Jeudy, by the way, on your Twitter account today. And then I want to know about your relationship with Chris Bryant, and have we totally now given up on the idea of him coming to Seattle, or do you keep pushing for that?
I would tell Mariners fans that that's probably not going to happen now. But think about getting two All-Stars for under the price of one. That's how I'm sure Jerry would put it, and that's how I look at it. I'd rather have two really good hitters taking up part of our lineup instead of, you know, paying for one that, you know, and Chris is worth every dollar, I think, in my opinion, as a friend and as a player. So, you know, I wish him the best. I hope he gets the best deal he could possibly get. But I think the Mariners organization got better today with a trade than maybe signing Chris. And that hurts me to say as a friend, but I truly believe that. I can't wait to get going with those guys, and I'm sure we're going to get them in the cage tomorrow and let them rake.
Well, Paul Sewald with us. Are you sure you're not in the marketing department, too, for this franchise? Because you're saying everything those guys want to hear. Are you on the propaganda machine for this baseball team or what, huh?
This organization's moving in one direction, and if you're not going to move in that direction, they're going to replace you with somebody who will, and I want to be a part of that team that gets back to the postseason, and I'm moving in that direction.
Love it. Two of the team's best relievers last year were you and Drew Steckenrider, and as you mentioned earlier in the interview, non-roster invitees. So give me the name of a non-roster invitee that you think could stick around and do damage.
Oh, you know what? You're questioning me a little early. Today was my first practice. I haven't even gotten a chance to see anybody. You know, obviously I was more focused on non-roster guys last year as I was one of them. You know, I guess we'll have to see who really shines in camp. And, you know, there's always the injury thing or the lack of production. You know, we had our meeting today and we used 63 players last year, and there's no, you know, probably going to use right about that many this year. That's just the way a major league season works. And so there's plenty of guys that are not on the roster right now that will play for the Mariners this year. And as long as everybody's focused on the same thing of being a 2022 playoff team, then, you know, doesn't matter if you're on the roster or off the roster at this point.
Well, let me follow with this, because it seems like it happens more frequently in the bullpen. Maybe talk to me why the variance between success from year to year maybe is greater in the bullpen than it is any other place on the field.
You know, if I had that answer, I would, you know, have a general manager job probably. I don't know. You know, maybe smaller sample size. You know, you're talking about, I threw 65 innings last year, back through 65 innings. Maybe the sample sizes are maybe smaller. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you can get on a run and you know, not give up a run for 3 months and have really good numbers, but then you fall out of it another year. Or, you have one bad game where you give up six in two-thirds of an inning, and it, you know, it makes your season stats look poor, right, even if, you know, you pitch well the rest of the year. I don't know. But, just trying to stay focused and get ready to go and ready to get in games and you know, let it eat and get ready for April 7th.
Well, I love having you on. We love having you on because, first of all, we have a lot of fun with you. You're honest and blunt, and we appreciate that. And I'll be honest and blunt with you. I want to get your thoughts on this, on, because you're a fan, right? I mean, you play for the team, but you're a fan of the game. And, you know, my expectations are that this team make the playoffs and end the drought. Been waiting long enough. It's been 22 freaking years. And I'll be honest, Paul, you guys fall short, I'm going to be pissed. Is that okay with you to have those expectations?
You can have those expectations. We, in this clubhouse, we are not winning on anything other than getting better every day. And that's all our focus is going to be. That's all our focus was last year. And it worked out pretty well for us. And I don't see any reason why adding, you know, a few All-Stars will change our perspective. We just want to get better every day. And you know, hopefully at the end of the season, we look up and our name is at the top of those standings and we're going to the postseason. But for now, it's spring training. We're trying to get healthy. We're trying to get strong. We're trying to get ready for the season. And then when April 7th gets here, we're gonna try and be better April 8th than we were April 7th, and better the 9th and the 8th. And we'll just we'll do that for 6 months, and we'll see what happens.
Well, you mentioned the date there, and that you just showed up to Peoria. You've only got like 3 weeks of spring training, and normally you've got about double that. How does that change your approach?
It doesn't really change it a ton. I was preparing for a March 31st opening day, you know, from the second the offseason started, you know, whether there was going to be a lockout or not, or how that was going to be affected is, you know, I feel like a majority of the guys in our clubhouse are more than prepared, considering today was the first day of practice and they're going to, you know, they're going to get right into games and pitchers are going to get right into throwing and we're going to get going. And, you know, obviously, you know, every game matters. So April 7th is important. It's as important as it will be in October. And, yep. And we're going to go out there and we're going to try and win on April 7th. And I don't think anyone's going to feel, you know, sympathy for us that, well, you know, you're the lockout. They, you know, they weren't ready the first week. It's, you know, it comes down to winning games. And so we're ready.
Well, we would be remiss if we did not ask you before you went, Paul, and again, Paul Sewald with us, about the new rules changes, and you would not be surprised to hear that your skipper is most excited about the expanded playoff field. He loves that there's now more teams in the postseason than there have been. Universal DH around the game, the runner on second base to start the 10th is now a thing of the past. What do you make of the new changes in baseball, and is there one or two that you like or one that you don't like?
Obviously the expanded playoffs is the most important one. I don't care if we're the sixth seed or the one seed. If we're in the playoffs, we got a chance to win the World Series, so that's the most important one.
I love it. Paul Sewald, listen, man, it's great to hear your voice. Can't wait to see you guys back home against the Astros in the middle of April. Go get them, and we'll talk in a few weeks, man. Thank you.
Thanks,
buddy,
man.
As always.
Great to talk to you guys again. It's been great. Let's go in.
Yeah, you got it, man. Paul Sewald with us on the radio show. Never a bad interview with him, right? I mean, there's a reason why we keep putting him back on. There's a reason why you keep listening, because he is fantastic on the air. You don't hear guys talk like that, right? About breaking down their teammates and what their teams need, what they went out and got. And it's a guy who's buddies with Chris Bryant and says, look, as much as I love Chris, we are better off with these two guys versus one Chris Bryant. So we'll see. You know what? It's things like that that make sports fun. It'll be fun to follow now. Let's see how Eugenio Suarez and Jesse Winker do in comparison to whatever Chris Bryant does this year.
He's refreshing to listen to, because we had years and years and years of Mariners that, A, were not very good on the air, and B, could give a crap if they ever did a radio interview. He is legitimately excited to talk. Yeah. He's legitimately excited to pitch. He loves the game of baseball. He talked about how much he loves the game of baseball. And I just think there's a lot of guys out there that do it for the money. And this is one of those guys that really honestly seems like he'd play baseball for free.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, there's been guys that have been really, really good interviews in the last 20 years, but you don't remember them because the team was awful. Like Brendan Ryan, when he would come on the air, was always really good.
A decade ago.
But the team stunk. They were terrible.
But how about in the last 5 years?
So I think when you have this combination, which, let's face it, in our town is unique, where there's a guy who's charismatic and energetic, and he's engaging. And, oh, by the way, the team won 90 games a year ago.
And, oh, by the way, he was like an all-star caliber closer.
Is that allowed? Can you have guys that are good on the air but also play for a good team at the same time? Apparently it is. Is DK Metcalf worth breaking the bank for? I want to come back and discuss that, because you saw the contract Christian Kirk got. Christian Kirk is Gary Coleman to George Murison when it comes to height, okay? I mean, they're on two different planets. Christian Kirk and DK Metcalf aren't even comparable as athletes. But one guy just got, what, $21 million a year, maybe even more than that? We got to come back and discuss that next on Softy and Dick, right here at Seattle's only sports radio station on the FM dial, Sports Radio KJR FM 93.3. All right, big thanks to Paulie Sewald for joining us on the radio show. Mark Giordano will join us coming up at about 6:05 tonight from the Kraken. Does he expect to be here in a week from now? Emily Kaplan, our friend from ESPN.com, had a story where she claims that Giordano met with Ron Francis, and they agreed that the best course of action would be for Giordano to be traded, to give him a chance to compete for a Stanley Cup title. and to maybe pack the coffers with some draft picks here in Seattle. So we'll ask Giordano if that's true. Coming up at 6:05 tonight, Jerry Dipoto says, after today's deal with Justin Dunn, Brandon Williamson, Jake Fraley going to Cincinnati for Jesse Winker and Eugenio Suarez, that the offense is the offense. Apparently they are done transacting on the offensive side of the ball.
I woke up this morning ready to transact.
Only for pitchers, though, now, apparently, says Dipoto. The question is, do you believe him? Do you believe that Jerry Dipoto is done making moves with the offense?
No.
No.
No, okay. It's Jerry Dipoto. He can't stop from doing anything.
Dick, do you believe he's done making moves with the offense?
Yes, because he's never told us go and not gone. He's never told us stop and not stopped.
He's never lied. He's never lied. He's never lied. He's been honest so far. Everything he's done. Dick Fain says, if you don't screw me, then I will follow you anywhere. I will back you. I will believe you. I will have your back no matter what happens.
Until I've got reason not to.
Until a guy burns you.
Until I got reason not to have your back, I got your back.
When Russell Wilson stuck a flamethrower up your tuchus when he took off and went to the Denver Broncos.
I mean, I'm not mad at Russell.
Not saying you're mad. That's a different story. Different story. Did he burn you? Did Russell Wilson burn you? A little bit? Just a little bit?
Burn me as a Seahawk fan?
No, I mean, Dick, come on. What are we talking about here?
Well, we're talking about two different things, because before we were talking about Griffey.
You are, okay, have we mentioned Griffey yet, this conversation?
Well, but that's been the conversation the whole show was comparing him to the Griffey.
I want you to humor me here, okay? You say that you believe Dipoto because Dipoto hasn't burned you so far.
Right.
Do you feel burned by Russell Wilson? Because you believe everything that came out of Russell's mouth.
No, I don't really feel burned. I was wrong in thinking that he was not going to be traded this year. But I mean, to feel burned, I would have to have some animosity. I have no animosity to Russell Wilson.
This is not the conversation I'm having with you. I'm having a conversation about you trusting people. That's the conversation I'm having with you. And your conversation regarding Jerry Dipoto is that you trust Dipoto because everything he has said he's going to do, he's
done. He has been completely open with all of
his
moves.
Let's translate that to Russell Wilson.
Okay.
Did you believe everything that came out of Russell Wilson's mouth and that he wanted to be here long term? He wants to stay here. He has no desire to leave. Isn't the answer just yes? Yeah. Can't we just say yes?
Well,
and
it sounds like
on?
You're just trying to get an answer out of me. So there you go. Humor you. Yes, Dave. Question. There you go. All Are right. you happy?
Yes, we could have answered that five minutes ago and been done. Well, I mean, look, but isn't that part of, though, what is maybe wrong with that take on Jerry Dipoto? Why should we believe everything that comes out of Jerry Dipoto's mouth just because so far everything he said he's delivered on? And again, it's not a bad thing. By the way, it's not a negative at all for me for Jerry Dipoto to come out and be a little bit dishonest
about his plans in
free agency.
I mean, I'm surprised he has been as forthcoming as he has been.
So ask me the question. Ask me if I believe Dipoto.
Do you believe
Dipoto
is done?
Absolutely freaking not.
Okay, so what
do
they adding?
I believe it.
What are they adding on?
I think they could add a catcher. No question about that. They could add a full-time designated hitter. They could add another outfielder to this mix because he just got done saying today that Kyle Lewis will not be ready by opening day, which is in 3 weeks from now. Now, do I believe there's a chance that Dipoto will not be able to add to this baseball team the way he wants to? Absolutely. But do I believe that Jerry Dipoto goes to bed tonight thinking, I'm good with this offense? Not at all do I believe
he thinks
so.
I think he's trying to manage Mariner fans' expectations because he knows... He knows how just rabidly negative Mariner fans are. And I'm not saying they don't have a right to be rabidly negative, but they are rabidly... Hell, they're rabidly negative on Twitter right now, even though you just got an all-star starter. They're like, we're not spending any money.
Right. Well, and I will just take the other side. I like today's deal a lot. I like what they gave up. I like what they got back. But there's also a little birdie in the back of my brain that says, well, Jesse Winker is a great player when he's available. He's only played 113 games one time in his career, and that was a couple years ago. Eugenio Suarez is, 30-plus years old and has not been great the last couple years, although if you look at the back half of 2021, his numbers look a lot better. I think he had like an 860-plus OPS in the second half of last season. So he's got to get back to where he was. I don't expect him, for example, Dick, this Suarez kid, to get back to where he was 2 years ago when he had, 49 bombs and 100-plus ribbies. But can he be a 30-plus home run guy with a plus 800, 850 OPS. I think that's fair, you know, for what you gave up and $11 million a year, but there's a little bit of risk involved with both these guys, right? Well, obviously there is,
I think,
I'm fine with that.
I think because the Chris Bryant name is out there,
mm-hmm.
and the money that you, it would just show that you're serious if you go overpay for a guy
yeah.
that has not had a four or more WAR season in 5 years. Do people just want to spend a lot of money just to like prove to themselves that it's not the old Mariners anymore? Because I don't need that type of proof that it's not the old Mariners anymore.
I think people want to spend money because they believe it makes the team better.
Okay, but is Chris Bryant, I mean, he's a career 880 OPS guy, which is good, but it's not like
really
$30 million a
really
year good.
Well, but again, there's no salary cap in baseball and the Mariners have money to spend. So what?
So I mean, you should just spend it.
If you have it, yes. Absolutely, you should spend it. Hell yes, you should spend it. Now, look, I'm not saying the Mariners are the Yankees or they are the Red Sox or the Dodgers or Mets or whatever, but teams like that go out and make moves like that. They don't work out. They just replace them with somebody else. And I realize that we're in a different financial situation than those towns are, but right now the Mariners have an ability, if they want, to spend money like that because they're so far under what's acceptable for the number 12 market in baseball to be spending, they should be going crazy. Now, I don't want them to waste money on bad players, but if they overpay a little bit to bring a guy like a Chris Bryant or a Freddie Freeman to Seattle, who cares if they overpay? As long as they perform. That was the problem with the Cano deal, right? You overpaid for Cano, but the guy didn't perform. Never met the terms of that deal. I don't give a damn what a guy makes as long as he rakes. And I think guys like that would rake. Now, again, I love today's deal. I like what they gave up. I like what they got back. But I do not think that Jerry Dipoto should go to bed tonight thinking the offense is good enough and there's no more moves that need to be made. I think you hit the nail on the head, what you just said right there. I think Jerry Dipoto said that to give himself a pass if they don't go out and sign more players, to maybe lower the expectations a little bit.
Well, and I do think they're going to bring in another pitcher because he said as much that they're still looking for another pitcher. And, you know, I totally agree with Chuck. I mean, Chuck was right. Chuck said, hey, this doesn't mean that you can't go out and get anybody you want in July.
Of course.
Go ahead, play the first 3 months of the season out, see where you're good, see where you need improvement, and then you can fleece a team that's already 20 games under 500 in July like it used to be the reverse because we were the team that was 20 games under in July.
Well, the problem with that philosophy, and I appreciate Chuck's perspective, is that the first 3 months of the season count the same as the last 3 months of the season.
Right.
So, don't you want to win as many games as possible every single damn day so you're above water as opposed to being at water or below water? Look, I mean, I agree with that philosophy. I said it to you in the first segment. They've protected a large majority of their system. I mean, they've only gotten rid of one guy, and that's Williamson. Everybody else is still here. They're going to be in a great spot come the end of July to make a deal at the deadline to go get a star, but that doesn't mean they don't need to do it now and go get guys now that can help them win games in April. So, hey, look, I mean, I don't expect Dipoto to be totally honest with us on everything they're doing. I don't want him to be totally honest, just like Pete Carroll and John Schneider and Russell Wilson. I mean, all three of them were full of it, right, when they came to their relationship and where this thing was. Meantime, they're all talking about how much they love each other, and in the background, Russell Wilson's calling Peyton Manning scouting out the freaking Broncos. I mean, come on, man.
Well, yeah, but
are we so naive to believe everything we hear from these people's mouths?
Because comparing Jerry Dipoto and Pete Carroll is ridiculous. Because Pete Carroll would say a turd smelled good if it was on the team.
Okay
we know that Pete Carroll doesn't speak like Jerry Dipoto does.
Well, and I understand that their personalities are different. But if you're the general manager of a baseball team, you should never reveal your cards, ever in public. Never reveal
your hand. So he's doing the wrong thing.
I think he's doing the exact right thing by lying to people. I love it. The question is, not is he doing the right thing or the wrong thing. The question is he doing the thing he says he's doing? And the answer, hopefully, is not a chance in hell. I mean, if you're a Mariner fan, don't you want Jerry Dipoto to be working the phones and burning the midnight oil every single day trying to make this offense better?
Yes, and guys, remember, we're talking about somebody who's addicted to making moves. I think Jerry Dipoto wakes up in the morning just itching to make another move that day.
Yes, no, I agree with it. And look, I think it's a great thing. I just think all of us here, we can talk behind the scenes or you know, on the air, I guess, in front of the scenes, and we can debate whether or not Jerry, A, really believes he's done, or B, if he should be done. And I think the answer to both those questions is not a chance in hell. Let's talk about DK Metcalf, because Christian Kirk just got a huge fat contract, and some are concerned that maybe this is going to push DK Metcalf to a new stratosphere financially that may be too much for the Seahawks. We'll discuss that next on Softy and Dick. All right, our friend Boom Boom Rossini, Diana Rossini, tweeting out about 3 hours ago, told by the Seahawks, told the Seahawks, do not have any plans to meet with Deshaun Watson as of right now. So if you were a fan of Deshaun Watson coming to the Seahawks, you can, well, according to Diana, cross it off your list. You never know how these things turn out when it's all said and done. But Christian Kirk today, former receiver for the Arizona Cardinals, signed a contract or agreed to a contract with the Jacksonville Jaguars that pays him up to $21 million a season. Now, Christian Kirk's career high in receptions is 77. Yards is 982, touchdowns is 6, and targets is 107. All numbers clearly dwarfed by DK Metcalf. We all get that. If he does make $21 million, he'll be third behind DeAndre Hopkins and Julio Jones. I think we all know that Christian Kirk is not the third best wide receiver in the NFL, but we also know the way these things work. It's not often who the best is. It's who's next up when it comes to a contract. So what do we think is going to happen with DK Metcalf? His deal is up at the end of the year. The Seahawks could franchise him, obviously, but remember, he was not a first-round pick, so he's only got the 4 years and no fifth-year option. If DK Metcalf comes back and he wants DeAndre Hopkins money, he wants to be the highest paid receiver in the history of the NFL, he wants $28, $29 million a year, how far should the Seahawks be willing to go to keep DK Metcalf?
Well, I'd first ask DK, how many times have you been a first-team All-Pro like Devontae Adams? And he would say, well, zero.
He might just lie and say four times.
Zero
thinking
times.
That maybe you'll buy that.
How many times has he been a second-team All-Pro? Well, one time in my time, so 33% of the time. So, yeah, DK can want all he wants, and he will be one of the highest-paid receivers. But, I mean, he hasn't shown that he's a top-three receiver in football. He has the potential to be the top-three receiver, but he hasn't shown at all that he is a top-three receiver in football.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but the Seahawks have also shown the willingness to sign their core guys, and I do believe that they feel that DK Metcalf is one of those 6, 7, 8 core guys that they want to build a team.
So what about somebody who says, if you're DK Metcalf's agent, you want to do a role play here. What's it called when you dress up as a whatever, cosplay or whatever?
Yeah, cosplay.
What's that called?
Cosplay.
Okay. You go home, you put the Batman costume on, and Ryza puts on the Leia costume.
That's not how that works.
Jedi or whatever.
That's not how that works.
Okay, you know, I go home, put the Spider-Man costume on, the wife dresses up as Catwoman.
Softy.
Right? Things like that.
I do Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker. She does Lieutenant Uhura, okay?
Gotcha, there you go. Okay, fine. You know who that is, by the way?
I do.
So, what if DK Metcalf's agent says, well, the reason why he's not first or second team All-Pro is because you're not getting my guy the ball? Because he's 25th in targets. And what are you doing? Right? I mean, he hasn't shown he's that guy because you're not letting him show that he's that guy. Isn't that one of the reasons why Russell Wilson wanted out of here? Because there's another conversation about Russell Wilson. Hey, be pissed off at Russell Wilson or be pissed off because the Seahawks drove him to want to leave Seattle because you weren't letting my guy cook in a kitchen. So if I'm DK Metcalf's agent, I say, hey, look, man, you can argue all you want about DK Metcalf's numbers, but DK Metcalf has been putting up numbers that are very comparable to some of the great receivers in the NFL, and they'd be even better if you would get my guy the freaking football. And if you don't sign him to this money that we're asking for, guess what? He's going to walk out of here, and he'll go play for somebody else, and he'll put those numbers up because that team will get him the ball.
Well, is he going to catch the ball when it's thrown to him? Because I've seen a hell of a lot of drops by DK Metcalf. And I'm just role-playing here.
Can you imagine John Schneider saying that?
I like DK Metcalf, but, I mean, have we not seen DK come across the middle more than a few times and have the ball hit him right in the hands?
Yeah, we've seen him drop some balls, for sure. But we've also seen the guy be 16th in the NFL in targets. I mean, he's getting, how many targets did DK Metcalf get? 129. Devontae got 170. Justin Jefferson, 167. Stephon Diggs, 164. Tyreek Hill, 160. Cooper Kupp, 191. So I would be very curious to know where he is if they got him an extra two targets a game. You give him 35 extra targets, and he's pushing 150. Look, the only reason, Dick, why I bring that up is because if you're going to give him Ferrari-type money, right, then you better treat him like a damn Ferrari. You're going to give him $28 million a year. You better get the guy the freaking ball.
Has DK Metcalf shown you that he is a complete wide receiver like those other guys you talked about, like DeAndre Hopkins, like Devontae Adams, that can run every route, that can catch passes everywhere on the field, can roll inside, outside? I haven't seen it. I've seen DK Metcalf be a freak, catch a lot of balls downfield, but I haven't seen the complete wide receiver that those other guys are.
I think Hugh Millen would say you're crazy, and we'll get him on the air later this week and ask him. And I think he would say that if you got him more targets, those things would be less of a problem.
Okay.
Because he would be dominating people so much that you wouldn't even think about that. And I do think he can run every route. That was Millen's complaint coming out of college, is that he was, I think his words were, criminally underused, right, when he was at Ole Miss.
Yep.
And I think that there is more on that bone. And I'm saying if you're right, then why would you give him all that money? Why would you give him that kind of money? If you're telling me that he's not a complete receiver and he can't run every route in the tree, then why would you pay him $25, $26 million a year?
Because
especially when you don't have a quarterback right now and you need a lot of help on the offensive line.
Well, because you look at the wide receivers that have been in the playoffs deep. Kupp, Chase, Odell in the Super Bowl this year. Godwin, Evans, A.B., Tyreek Hill in the Super Bowl last year. You go down to the Final Four.
Yeah.
You add Adams, Julio, A.J. Brown, Diggs to the final. I mean, star wide receivers have made it deep in the playoffs because it's not 2016 anymore. It's 2022 now, and wide receivers are becoming way more valuable than running backs.
So what's your limit on this kid? If he asks for $30 million, wants to be the highest paid receiver in the history of the NFL, do you give it to him? If he's threatening a walkout, do you give it to him? He wants Hopkins money. You know, I want $28 million a year. But 30, 28, whatever it is. We can haggle over a couple of million.
You don't have to, because then you just franchise him.
Just franchise
him. Yeah, absolutely.
So you're not ready yet to give him that kind of money.
No.
Okay.
You just like I wouldn't have given Jamal Adams the contract when they did. If he wants number one money, he's got to prove it. And I have a franchise tag that he can use, which is just the average of the top five, which is exactly where DK should be.
So you'll be waiting until the end of the year to give DK Metcalf his contract.
Yes, if he wants number one wide receiver money.
Gotcha.
Devontae should make more than DK.
I agree with that. So you're willing to risk a holdout. You're willing to risk.
Yes. What do I got to lose? I'm not going to the Super Bowl this year.
Well,
so what do I got to lose?
What you have to lose is your long-term relationship with a guy.
Okay.
That's what you got to lose.
Then I'm not paying a wide receiver $30 million a year.
The wrong move at all, but I think there is a risk there. I don't want to go into the year without getting DK Metcalf locked up because I don't want to have that type of situation. But I think it might turn out that way. You might have no choice. I mean, if you can go back and do Jamal Adams over again, you certainly would do that. And guess what? The guy wouldn't be here right now. 5:57. We're going to break. Mark Giordano. Is he going to be here in a week playing for the Kraken? Coming up next on Sports Radio KJR FM 93.3.
Now, from the Star Rentals Sports Desk, your Sports Radio KJR 950 AM and 93.3 FM Sports Headlines.
All right, boys and girls, headlines brought to you, of course, by our friends at venuekings.com.
What are you saying to hurt? I don't think it means what you think it means.
Mariners making a big deal today, sending pitchers Justin Dunn, Brandon Williamson, outfielder Jake Fraley, and a player to be named later to the Reds for left fielder Jesse Winker and third baseman Eugenio Suarez.
Padres star Fernando Tatis Jr. will miss the first 3 months of the regular season with a broken wrist, reportedly injured on a motorcycle.
That's not good. Quandre Diggs is back. 3 years, $40 million, $28 million with the Seahawks. Sidney Jones also re-signing. And Will Disley getting a 3-year, $24 million deal from the Hawks as well.
Teddy Bridgewater, 1 year with the Dolphins. Mitch Trubisky signing with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
All right, joining us right now on the radio show, will he be here in a week from now? Hockey night in Seattle, and a chance to be joined by one of the great defensemen of our time from the Seattle Kraken, getting ready for the game with Tampa tomorrow, or Wednesday, excuse me. It's Mark Giordano. Gio, how are you, pal?
I'm doing well, yeah. It was nice to get home from a long road trip and Ended off with, you know, getting a win. I thought we did some good things on the road. We weren't getting any results, but it was nice to get home with a win and back to Seattle.
Well, let's talk about this Kraken Seattle experience thing, how it's gone for you so far. You spend your whole career in one place. You grew up in Canada, and now all of a sudden you're coming down to the lower 48 and you're playing and setting up shop in Seattle. How's this experience gone for you and your family?
Yeah, we've enjoyed it. I think coming, like you said, is, you know, when you're so used to one place and playing in one place your whole career, it was obviously a big shock to the system. Everything's been great. You know, we got obviously our new rink, new facility, new practice rink, brand new team, a lot of new faces. But it's been great to getting to know the guys, getting to know the city of Seattle. And the support's been great. The fans have been unbelievable all year. I know it hasn't been the greatest year for us being an expansion team here and results-wise, but just the experience and the atmosphere in the city's been pretty cool, and I'm happy to be a part of it.
Mark, you've been one of the leaders of this team, no question about it, and so has Yanni Gourde. And he kind of, you know, had a little message to the team on Saturday before that Montreal game. How much of that impact do you think that you needed to play 60 minutes in that Montreal game? Because he kind of intimated that you hadn't prior to that in a game or two.
Yeah. I mean, Gordo's obviously a leader on our team. He's a guy who obviously, you know, you look at his resume, he's come from a championship team the last couple of years. And I think his message was important. And I think, you know, me and him had a little chat. I think it was the morning after the game in Ottawa, and we were just, you know, shared some thoughts with each other. But his message was pretty clear. I mean, it's a pretty big privilege to play in the NHL, and just didn't want guys to take it for granted. And I think we came on with a pretty great effort in Montreal.
Well, it's funny that you look at like the top five or six or six of the seven top scorers on this team, and most of them are over 30 years old. I mean, you would think there'd be a big youth movement going on right now, but that's not the case. But guys like Jared McCann, who's got a new contract, Vince Dunn, Ryan D'Amato, how much have you kind of felt like, hey, I'm one of the OGs in this locker room, and I got to take these young guys under my wing and show them the way things are done? How much of your job has been about that responsibility?
Oh, a lot. I think a lot of it. I think it's a really important role. I think, I think back to when I was a young guy, and the guys I looked up to were all, you know, well into their 30s. I know the game's changed a bunch now, but, you know, you look up to guys who've been around and have experienced things that you haven't, and try to learn from them. So I try to set a good example, try to speak my mind when I need to, if I see things that I think need addressing. And our young guys have been unbelievable. The work ethic in this group is second to none. I've been around a lot of teams, and the young guys care. They're at the rink on days off. They're working out. They're staying on the ice extra long after practice. Like the team's definitely in a good spot with the young guys here and their work ethic, for sure.
Mark, who are the future leaders of this team, or guys that you could see, you know, years down the road wearing a C on their chest, either in a Kraken jersey or somewhere else?
There's a ton. I think, you know, I look at guys like you just said who've obviously won Stanley Cups. It's a huge thing in our game. And I think, guys like Dunner, guys like Gordo, obviously, I look at, you know, McCann, Eberle, guys who've been around. There's a ton of guys. I think, you know, leadership is a group thing, but I think those are the guys that come to mind. You know, Tanev comes to mind, a lot of guys come to mind, but those are the guys that really stick out when you're talking about a future captain or assistant captain.
Well, Mark Giordano with us on Hockey Night in Seattle. Kraken get the Lightning on Wednesday night, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock faceoff right here on 950 KJR. And I'll be honest with you, man, one of the biggest questions facing this hockey team in the next week or so is you. You showed up here over the summer, and people want to know if you're going to be here next summer with this Kraken team. The deadline is a week from today. Do you expect to be a Kraken member in 8 days from now?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough situation. I think me and Ronnie have had a lot of good talks about this, and you know, at this point in my career, obviously, wanting to play in playoffs. I don't know what's going to happen for sure in the next week, but I could. There's a lot of different rumors flying around. I think I'm a veteran guy and old enough to understand how the game works and how the business side of it works. And obviously, if there's something that Ronnie can do to help the team and get me into a playoff situation, I think it could very well happen. But I've been trying to live day to day here for the last little bit, to be honest with you, and we'll see what happens. But I can definitely see it going either way this week.
Well, Emily Kaplan, who you know works for ESPN.com, I want to ask you about this. I was reading her column from yesterday, and this is the great part about having you guys on, because we can just go right to the horse's mouth and ask you if this is true. She writes that Giordano met with GM Ron Francis last month, and it was determined the best course of action would be for the Kraken to recoup some value while allowing Mark to chase a Stanley Cup title this spring. So that makes it sound like you guys have already agreed that Ron would try and get you out of here. Is that true?
Yeah, I think I wouldn't put it, the conversation didn't go exactly like that, but basically what, you know, me, with me being a free agent next year and him being able to get some value at the deadline if it were available, I think, you know, I think it's no secret that I'd like to play in the playoffs, and the way the season has gone, it doesn't look obviously like the Kraken will get there. So he's going to probably explore that, and I've agreed with him that would probably be something that I would like to do is play in playoffs. But like I said, you just never know. You gotta have someone who wants you out there, and B, the trade's got to make sense for Ronnie to do it. So we'll see how the next week plays out.
Well, part of that report says you got a 10-team no trade list, but you haven't given it to the Kraken yet. Are you going to give that to the Kraken, and do you have that no trade list?
Yeah, I mean, it's in my contract, but I just think you know, I have a pretty good relationship with Ronnie, and I just basically if anything were to happen, I'm sure that he would come to me first and we'd talk about it and go from there. So I don't feel like there's any need to submit anything like that in writing, to be honest.
Mark, Jeremy Lauzon said the guys have been a little bit on edge, I think was the term he used to describe the trade deadline. How distracting has it been, not only for you, who may be on the move, but also guys like Jeremy and other guys that could potentially not be here in 10 days?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, I think, especially for young guys in the league, and it's definitely nerve-wracking for sure. But for myself, I think I've been around long enough where I've been through a ton of deadlines, and there's always speculation, you know, there's always rumors flying around. What ends up happening most of the time is not a lot of moves get made, as many as the people might think are going to happen, but no, it's nerve-wracking, especially for guys on expiring deals. If you're a young guy trying to obviously establish yourself in the league and get a contract done or get something done, it can become a stressful time. So you just try and we don't talk about it, to be honest. That's the way we deal with it in our room. Nobody really talks about it that much. I mean, it might get mentioned here or there, but it hasn't been talked about that much in our room.
Well, Mark Giordano with us, and listen, man, we appreciate your candor on all this stuff. You know, it's been fun to watch you play, but I think we all understand the stage of the career that you're in. You've got 1,000 games in. You're 38 years old. I'm sure you're probably getting tired of people like me asking the same damn questions over and over and over again. But how long do you want to keep going? How long do you want to take this thing for, man?
Well, That's the question that I ask myself every day, to be honest. I really truly enjoy playing. I as long as I'm contributing to teams in a positive way, I think I'll stick around for as long as I can till they kick me out. But I mean, the number I've always had in my mind, you know, especially once I got into my 30s, was I always wanted to play till I was 40. So I definitely want to stick around for a couple more years. But there's a lot of things that are going to play into that. And you know, the moment I think I'm not helping a team in a positive way, I won't play anymore, but I still believe I got some game left, and, I enjoy coming to the rink every day. So when I was, you know, I'll never forget when I was around 30, you know, 30 years old, a few of the older guys who had retired in Calgary, you know, mentioned to me, don't quit until they kick you out, because, you know, when you stop quit, keep going to the rink every day, you miss it big time. So I'll hang on for as long as they let me. That's my answer on that one.
All right, Mark. Well, I'm going to change the topic and actually talk about this hockey team that you're on right now. Is that okay? Whatever your future looks like. But if you could just erase like the first 10, 12 minutes of every single game, you guys would have a completely different record. There's no question about that. You guys have given up first period goals, or the first goal in a game, 41 times this year. How can that change over the rest of the season?
Yeah, I think you know, going on that issue, I think one of our issues with our team is we come out of the gates and we're sort of just waiting for something bad to happen. I know it sounds weird, but it's almost like we're waiting for something bad to happen until we let loose and play. And I think you know, for our team, that's the one step we can take, is to play with that aggressive mentality. You know, sort of, you don't want to play too loose, but you gotta be able to make plays and break the puck out under pressure. You know, when the game's tied or you're up in games, just the same as when you're down by two or three. I feel like if you've noticed, a lot of the time we play really well, especially when we're down and we have to play with that desperation. We got to find a way to do that right from the drop of the puck.
Well, Mark, before you go, I'll switch the conversation to the fan base. We talk about you, we talk about the team, and we talk about the fans to end it. You have been around some incredible environments in your career. You played in one forever in Calgary. You grew up in Toronto. You know what that organization there is all about. What does this town, what does this fan base need to do to get on that kind of a level with that kind of fervor, and what have you seen so far from them?
Oh, this building and this fan base is right up there. I'll tell you what, the atmosphere in our rink is pretty special, especially on nights. Most recently, going back to a night like the Nashville game, it was pretty cool in there. I think we scored a bunch of goals in a short period of time, and the atmosphere was electric. But I've told all the guys this, and they all know it too. I don't think there'll be a better building in the league when the Kraken get into a playoff spot and get into a playoff series. It's going to be pretty special to play here. And we've had tremendous support. You know, there's been some nights where we've been down by, you know, three or four goals and we get one back late and they're rocking in there still. So it's been pretty cool. I think there's a good buzz, you know, taking my son to hockey at the practice rink. There's a good atmosphere in the city about hockey, and I think it's only going to go up. So I think they just got to keep doing what they're doing, this will be a great place to play in the future.
I love it. Well, wherever you end up, best of luck, man. Selfishly, we hope you stay here, but I think we all think that's a long shot at this point. So whatever you do, wherever you end up, best of luck, and come back through one day. I'd love to have you back on the radio show, but best of luck on Wednesday against the Lightning, man. Appreciate
Thanks,
this,
man.
Pal.
Okay, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you.
You bet. Mark Giordano with us on the radio show. When we come back, our morning king, the franchise man, the anchor of this radio station, Chuck Powell, going to join the radio show. We'll get his breakdown on what the Mariners did today. Big trade with the Reds. What happened? Who won? Who lost? What are we getting? What are we giving? We'll find out next with Chuck Powell. Coming up right here on Seattle's only FM sports talk station, Sports Radio KJR 93.3 FM.